Thank you, Sandra. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all this morning. And what a beautiful day it is. The sun is shining, the birds are singing. Spring is just around the corner, it seems. And you know how I feel about spring, which is my favorite season. Anyway, here we are. We're coming towards the end of February, almost a year since our lives were turned completely upside down by the coronavirus lockdown. And you don't need me to tell you that the last 12 months of our lives have been tough, very tough in many cases. It's been a strange and confusing time, hasn't it? Trying to work out how to make the best of life when there's been so much that we'd love to do, but we can't do. So much that we used to do without a second thought, all of a sudden was taken away from us. And that's confusing and disorientating. But while we might be disorientated by the events of the past year, God is not. None of this has taken God by surprise. You know, God's not sitting in heaven scratching his head and saying, "Oh no, what am I going to do now?" No, amongst all the chaos and the confusion of the pandemic, God is still in control. He's still in control. He's still at work establishing his kingdom on earth. He's still building his church as he promised to. And although we might not always see it, he's still at work making good out of the bad that we experience at this time. He's using even the hardships and the struggle of the pandemic to bring about his good and loving purposes in the world. Sometimes when we're feeling down, we find that hard to believe, but yet it's true. Regardless of how we are feeling at any given moment in time, God is good and he's still at work, still working out his good and loving purposes in the world. And he's calling us, he's still calling us, even in the midst of a pandemic. He's still calling us to be part of his mission. And it's been great over the past 11 months to see all the ways in which you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, have continued to serve God, have continued to reach out in love to those around you. How you've made connections with neighbors, and you've made friends who you never knew before in your walks around the park or wherever else it is. And as you've been doing that, you have been playing your part in God's mission to bring his kingdom to earth. But now our responsibility, and in fact, always our responsibility, is to listen to God. What's he saying? What's he saying to us as individuals? And what's he saying to us as a church together? And that's what I and others in our church family have been doing this last 12 months. And we've been asking God to show us his plans for us as a church and for our community, for the neighborhoods where we live and work. And as we've done that, as we've been seeking God and listening to what he is telling us, to what he's revealing to us, a picture has begun to emerge. And it's so exciting. And what's particularly encouraging and exciting is that as we've been doing that, many other churches up and down the country and indeed around the world have been doing the same. And they all seem, we'll say they all, many of them, many, many, many of them seem to be hearing the same thing that we've been hearing. You see, as a nation, as a world, we're going through a time of shaking. As a church, we're going through a time of shaking. It seems as though the Holy Spirit is shaking up his church, bringing us back to what we were always meant to be about. He's reminding us something important. He's reminding us about the power of small, the power of small. You know, for as long as I've been a Christian, and I'm sure it's been happening a long time before I became a Christian 20 years ago. The church in the UK and in America has been obsessed with big, hasn't it? You know, the goal has been to fill our buildings and get big enough to get auditoriums, to fill those auditoriums, to create mega churches where thousands of people, even tens of thousands of people, gather on a Sunday from miles around in order to be wowed by a charismatic speaker and to be really blessed by an incredibly talented and usually very good looking worship leader, okay, in a big weekly event. Okay, and I don't want to knock those churches which have been doing that, okay, because actually some of them have been incredibly successful at reaching people with the good news of Jesus, and they've seen people come to faith. But here's the thing. Once churches get beyond a certain size, and I would say, you know, once churches get to our sort of size, it becomes increasingly difficult to build deep relationships with one another. It's very easy for people to come when we're gathering together on a Sunday morning at the Hub. It's very easy for people to slip in and sit through the service and then slip away again without anybody really meaningfully making contact with them. And maybe you've experienced that yourself. Maybe you know that there have been times when you've been in church and you've just longed for a sense of connection with people. You've longed to go deeper and to be able to share what's on your heart with other people. And it's not happened because everybody's been busy doing their own things, chatting to this group and that group, and you've just been left on your own. See, that's the thing about big church gatherings. It's very easy to be overlooked, and it's very difficult to forge those deep relationships that each of us craves, that desire to know and to be known by others. But there's another reason why I think that perhaps the model of big church is missing the point a little bit. And it's this. That model of church, the big church model, seems so, so different from the picture of God's church that we see in the pages of the New Testament and that we see described by Jesus himself. And our reading from Mark's gospel this morning is a great example of that. Because Jesus is teaching his followers what his kingdom is like, what the kingdom of God is like. And he says that the kingdom of God is like seeds. Okay, in the passage before the one we've read, Jesus talks about it's the parable of the sower, the man who goes out scattering seeds. And then this reading this morning, he talks about it as two separate parables, and they're both about seeds, little tiny seeds. Not big, little tiny seeds. And in fact, in the second of the two parables that we've heard read to us this morning, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. It's small. But yet small doesn't mean weak, because listen to what Jesus says next. He says, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. You see, seeds, although small, are powerful. They're powerful. But the type of mustard tree that you find in Israel, the type that Jesus was describing when he says the biggest of all garden plants, when it grows, it doesn't become tall and majestic like a cedar or like a giant redwood tree. No, it's kind of scruffy looking, actually. And it spreads outwards and it grows fast. Okay, it's scruffy looking, it's messy, it reaches outwards and it grows fast. So what's Jesus saying in this parable? What does he want us to hear from this? Well, it's that like a little tiny mustard seed, the kingdom of God at first glance really doesn't look very impressive. It doesn't look big and mighty. It looks small and ineffective. But don't be deceived. It might look small, but it has enormous power. It grows. It might look scruffy, but it grows and it reaches out, providing shelter to those who are in need. That's the power of small. And you know, we often look to the big, shiny, impressive things in life, don't we? Those are the things we think are what count. But that is not how the kingdom of God works. You know, when Jesus was dying for our sins on that cross, he didn't look very impressive. He didn't. As Isaiah prophesied 700 years before that event, he said this: he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. See, Jesus looked weak and pathetic in that moment as he hung on the cross, his life ebbing away. So small, so pathetic, so useless. And yet, it was in that moment of dereliction on the cross, that Jesus won the greatest victory the world has ever and will ever know, paying the price for our sin. This and the sin of the whole world, so that we can know forgiveness, freedom, hope, joy, and life with God forever and ever and ever. Instead of an eternity separated from God, we can know the joy, the bliss, the ecstasy of life with God, our Creator, now and forever. That is the power of small. And that's what Jesus calls us to model in our own lives, as individuals and as his church. He calls us to follow his example by letting go of our pride, by letting go of our desire to look impressive, by stopping the comparison with other people that so plagues our lives, especially on social media, and instead choosing to die to self and to reach out in love to those around us. And that's what the vision God has given us as a church is all about, isn't it? In case you need reminding of what that vision is, this is a vision that we discerned from the Lord a couple of years ago with a few little tweaks. But the vision is this: to see the places where God has put us, and especially East Bowling, transformed and set free by the love and power of Jesus, bringing life and hope to the city. That's what he's given us to do. That's what our vision is. The question is, how? How are we going to do that? Well, that's what our Bless series over these last few weeks has been all about. As individuals and together as a body, God is calling us to worship him by reaching out to others, by reaching out to bless the people we encounter in our everyday lives. It's not just worship, isn't just about what we do on a Sunday morning between 10:30 and 12. No, our worship is a whole life thing. And God's calling us to worship him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday by reaching out to others to bless them. And that's what we're about. And it's a good job, actually, because the reality is that it's going to be some time, isn't it, before we're all able to gather back together again on a Sunday morning under one roof. But that doesn't stop God's mission. And it doesn't stop us from worshiping him. In fact, it's the opposite. Because I believe that this is a fantastic opportunity for us as his church to rethink what it means to be church, to rethink our view of what we are about. And I believe that what God's saying to us is that we need to grasp the power of small. Because although it may be some time before we can all get together again under one roof, it won't be long, we hope, and we pray, it won't be long before we can gather in smaller groups, And won't that be wonderful to be able to meet together, to worship together, to pray together, to eat together, and to minister to each other? Wow, won't that be incredible? I can't wait for that day. And you know, our gatherings may look smaller than we're used to, but small can be powerful. Just look at the mustard seed. And God doesn't need large gatherings, does he? He doesn't need large gatherings, worship bands, or charismatic preachers to move. Some of my most powerful encounters with God, and I know from speaking to others of you, you'll say the same. Some of our most powerful encounters with God have been in smaller groups, in smaller gatherings, not on a Sunday morning with everybody there. Because there's another thing as well, which underlines the power of small. And it's this: when we gather together in smaller groups, we can form much deeper friendships than we can in a big group. That means we can support each other. We can encourage each other. Yes, we can challenge each other as well, far better than we can in bigger gatherings. And more than that, we realize when we gather in a smaller group, we recognize that we have gifts to bring, and we're given opportunities to exercise those gifts. We get the joy of being able to serve one another in ways which are far more meaningful when we're gathered in small groups, and far more opportunities when we're in small groups than when we're in a big gathering. But you know, there's something else. There's something else about seeds as well that we need to reflect on, and it's this: seeds are dispersed. They're scattered. They don't stay in one place, do they? It'd be no good if seeds just drop to the floor in one clump under the tree from which they've come. No, they're scattered, aren't they? They're scattered by sowers, or they're dispersed by the wind or by birds to other places where they germinate and grow. And in the case of mustard seeds, they grow into trees with branches which reach out so the birds of the air can find shelter. Now, when Jesus is talking about the birds of the air, he's not talking about the little beautiful songbirds, the thrushes, the blackbirds. No, he's talking about the ugly crows and those birds which were considered unclean, the carrion eaters. Jesus is saying that the mustard tree reaches out to the disreputable birds. And he's saying the same to us. Actually, his church, the kingdom of God, is all about reaching out to those who are on the edges, on the margins, those whom everybody else looks down upon and ignores. That's why we're scattered. Because God has already scattered us into different places, hasn't he? None of us live in the church building, at least I don't think so. And I'm sure church wardens, you'd be pretty alarmed if anybody was living in the church building. Although Dave and Mark do seem to spend a lot of time there. You might want to check that one out. But anyway, no, we're not. We don't all live in the church building. None of us live in the church building. We're scattered, aren't we? We're scattered around East Bowling and other parts of Bradford. In fact, a number of us live in other towns and cities. And God has put us in those places to reach out to those around us, to bless them, so that they may be drawn to Jesus and experience the power of his love and his mercy in their lives too. That's why we're scattered. And so, what if we gathered in small groups with the express intention of working together to bless our neighborhoods, putting into practice those five key principles that we've been working our way through these last 5 weeks? Let's call these groups bless groups for the sake of example, okay? Those groups focused on those five key principles, putting them into practice in everyday life. Can you imagine the impact if we all were to commit to that? Can you imagine the impact in our communities, in our networks, in our workplaces? It's incredible. And as I look around our church family and our neighborhoods, I see so many opportunities for small missional groups to come together and to bless their neighbors. It's so exciting. The possibilities are limitless. I mean, let's have a look. We've got clusters of people already in our church family. We've got clusters of people living in Byerley, in Tyersall, in Leicesterdyke, in Whibsey, in Oakenshaw and Berkenshaw. And of course, we've got lots of people in East Bowling, as well as people scattered across the north of the city. We've even got a little cluster in Tyneside, although I can't put that on the map. It would make it a bit unmanageable. But what if you were to get together once a week with other members of our church family who live near you, on Zoom or on a socially distanced walk at the moment, maybe, although when lockdown eases off, together in person? What if you were to do that together and to ask God to show you how you can bless your neighbours and your neighbourhoods now and when lockdown comes to an end? That would be a great way to start. Or maybe God is calling you to join in with one of the outreach ministries which is already going on, already taking place, like Halogen, for example, our outreach to young families, or to Pete's Place, or to GEMS, or to BD4 Family. If so, why not have a word with Dave and Lorna, who lead Halogen, with Dave, who leads Pete's Place, with Mel Astin, who leads BD4 Family and GEMS, or people that you know who are already connected with those ministries. Have a word and see how you might be able to support those ministries and to get involved. Or perhaps, maybe God's given you a heart for a particular group of people, like our Farsi speakers, for example. Maybe you've got a heart to reach out to other Farsi speakers or to other people who are seeking asylum. Or maybe God is calling you to reach out in love to a particular place, like Bowling Park, for example. And maybe you'd like to join in with what he's already doing there. You know, some of you are already involved with the Friends of Bowling Park group, and that is so good. Wow, what an opportunity you have, and what a blessing you are to Bowling Park and the people who gather there. But if you're not already involved and you'd like to be, then have a word with one of the Friends of Bowling Park, or have a word with Chris and Margaret Barnes, who are keen to be involved in a blessed group focused on the park. If that's something you're interested in, go and have a word, get involved. Or maybe you work full time. Maybe your life is already really, really busy and you don't have time to fit in anything else, really. You're working that hard. If that's the case, well, I want to suggest that your mission field is your workplace. That's where God has put you. That's where he's scattered you. So why don't you arrange to meet up with others in the same boat once a week or once a fortnight, if once a week just seems too much at this time, just to pray together, to pray for each other, and to pray for your workplaces and for the people that you work with, that you might have opportunities to bless them in some way, to listen to them, to spend time over a meal with them, to serve them, and eventually to share something of your story with them. Or maybe God's given you a heart for somewhere else. Wherever it is, wherever God has given you a heart to serve him, you will be amazed what the Lord will do if you commit with others to gathering together, to pray together, and to bless your neighborhoods and your networks. You'll be amazed what God does, because that's the other thing about seeds. The final thing I want to share with you about seeds this morning is this. Seeds multiply. Seeds multiply. They don't just grow, they multiply. When a seed germinates and grows into a plant, okay, that plant then produces more seeds. And not just one or two seeds, no, loads of seeds. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. That's what the kingdom of God does. As we sow seeds of blessing into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our social groups, other people will be drawn to Jesus as he makes himself known to them through us. As we were thinking about last week, I think, as the Holy Spirit fills us and radiates his love out through us into the lives of those of the people that we meet and spend time with each week, they will be drawn to him. Perhaps not immediately, often not immediately, but if we stick at it, if we keep going, God will work through us to bring others into a relationship with him, particularly if we're working together with other people. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom and to cast out demons, heal the sick, he didn't send them out one by one. No, he sent them out two by two. Why? Because we need each other to support and encourage each other and to sharpen us as we go on our way. And, you know, as we model what it looks like to bless others, then they will learn how to do the same. They'll learn what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus who reaches out to bless those on the edges. And they will go on and make disciples, and so on and so on and so on. You see, seeds multiply. And that is the journey that God is calling us on. That's what he's calling us to do. To focus again on the power of small. To reach out to others, to serve, and to multiply disciples, to multiply churches. That's what he's calling us to. And I want to ask you a question. Will you be part of it? Will you be part of it? I really hope you will. I so hope you will, because I don't want you to miss out on everything that God has got for you. The joy and the privilege and the excitement of serving him in this way and seeing many, many other people come to faith in Christ. So what do you need to do? Three things I'm asking you to do this morning. Here's the first one. You won't be surprised to hear this. Begin with prayer. That's the first of our blessed principles anyway, isn't it? Begin with prayer. Ask God to show you who are the people he wants you to reach out to and bless. Is it your neighbors? Is it the people you work with? The people you meet in the park, who is it? And then ask God to show you who are those people whom you might join with in order to pray for and bless those people or places that God's put on your heart. Okay, that's the first thing. So pray, what's your mission field and who are your co-laborers? Okay, that's point number one. Number two, second thing you need to do is arrange to meet up with those people who God shows you. To pray together as a blessed group every week or every fortnight if every week is too much. Whether that's on Zoom for the time being or a socially distanced prayer walk or whatever. Or when lockdown is over, you know, and hopefully, you know, things will get eased off a little bit in the coming weeks. Meeting together in each other's homes to pray. And then to seek to listen to God and to put into practice what he says. And then the third thing is this, keep going. Don't let this be just a flash in the pan where you do it once or twice and then drift off. No, keep going. Keep meeting and praying together, asking God to show you how you can bless your neighbors, the people you're praying for. And whatever he says, go and do it and keep doing it together. It's time. It's time for us to embrace the power of small. That's what God's calling us to do, to be scattered seeds with incredible potential to bless our neighbors and to multiply disciples. Come on. Come on, church. Let's not hold back from this. Let's not be resistant to this new thing that God is wanting to do in us and through us. Let's say yes to what God is saying to us and let's go for it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this compelling picture of the kingdom of God that we see in this parable that you said. Heavenly Father, thank you that your desire is to bless us, but also that we might be a blessing to the people around us. Thank you that you have scattered us into the various places where we spend our days during the week. Thank you that you give us opportunities to reach out to others, to bless and to serve. And now, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Inspire us to action. Lord, shake us from apathy. Excite us with the vision of this new thing that you want to do in us and through us. And Lord, as we step out in faith, would you bless us and those around us? And may we see incredible things happen for the sake of your name and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.